chapter 3. Revelation chapter number 3. We are going to spend the next 40 minutes or so showing you from the Bible what something isn't. And then if you know what it is, you can tell me because I don't know. The Bible says here in Revelation chapter 3, verse number 1, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead." There are all kinds of commentaries, all kinds of amazing speculation as to what these seven spirits of God are. And there are three primary lists in our Bible that have to do with the Spirit. And every one of those lists has six. Six things on the list. These seven spirits were mentioned earlier, and if you remember, if you were here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, I took you to one of those lists, and I just briefly mentioned it as the common answer to this question, but I do want to run through this tonight. I don't want to mislead you or pretend like I know what something is when I don't. If nothing else, it won't be a waste of time. It'll give us a chance to talk about the Spirit of God. And like I said, if you come up with something on this that I haven't seen, you let me know before we leave tonight or later if you study it out. But anyway, that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to spend our time looking at the Spirit of God. And I want to show you from the Bible six places where the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of something. Okay, and then it'll list some particular attribute of the Spirit. Okay, that'll be the first section. And then I want to show you some places in the Bible where the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of, and then it is given some title or some designation relating to deity. And then six places where there were six attributes to the Spirit, which indwelt the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only thing I can find that has seven particulars are the seven principal actions of the Spirit in the life of the believer. So we'll run through those tonight, and if nothing else, we'll learn some things about God's Holy Spirit. And it can't hurt to look at, we're going to be looking at a lot of verses tonight, and that's never a bad thing. So I'm sure we'll see something from each one of them that hopefully will be a help to us. Let's pray one more time before we continue. Father in heaven, Lord, tonight as we study the book of Revelation, and particularly as we look into these things concerning your Holy Spirit, we ask you, Lord, to shed some light upon our study tonight. Help us to learn some things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, first of all, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 14. John, the Gospel of John chapter 14. We will be looking at, if I counted right, 21 verses of Scripture tonight. John chapter 14 and verse number 17. The first attribute by which the Holy Spirit of God is identified is here in John chapter 14, verse number 16. John 14, 16. "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." All right, so on this one, notice the Spirit of truth. Spirit of truth. Now, aren't you glad that every word inspired by God's Holy Spirit is truth? Aren't you glad that every promise recorded by God's Holy Spirit is truth? And aren't you glad that the Spirit of God sent to dwell within you and to abide with you forever, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit can lead you and guide you into all truth? Because He is all truth. He knows all truth. He authored all truth. He preserved all truth. He practices all truth. Well, you can't be deceived if you're led by the Spirit of God. You can't be misled if you're led by the Spirit of God. He is, according to Scripture, the very Spirit of truth. And the Bible says the world cannot receive Him because they only receive a spirit that they can see. They'll receive a tongues-talking spirit. They'll receive a knock-them-flat-on-their-backs kind of a spirit. They'll receive a laugh-like-a-hyena spirit. But a spirit that merely brings honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of the Word of God, the world will not receive that spirit because they can't see it. And as far as this world is concerned, as I've been telling you over the past few weeks, to the world, seeing is believing, but that's not faith, okay? But thank God by faith we received the Spirit of truth who leads us and guides us into all truth. The Spirit of truth comes to live with the believer. And then look in Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse number 3, concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Some of you remember when we memorized that verse years and years ago when Pastor Marty was here. We're going to memorize that again. Verse 4, yeah. So, but isn't it a funny thing that we read a holy Bible, and then in that holy Bible we read about a Holy Spirit, and we give glory to God that that Holy Spirit came to live within us, And yet, strangely, people who would actually profess, and some would even seek to teach, that you can be guided by and controlled by and led by God's Spirit, and yet there be no holiness in your life. Well, the Spirit of truth is also the Spirit of holiness. Now, you're not under the law, you're under grace, and hallelujah. We don't have to keep commandments in order to get in heaven. Thank God we're already in heaven, seated with Christ in heavenly places. I don't have to obey God to gain eternal life. Thank God He gave me eternal life as a free gift. But how in the world somebody can say that they are led of the Spirit when they are clearly walking in the flesh, led by the indwelling Spirit of God when they're living in sin? Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit will lead you into the truth. And that truth will promote and will prompt and result in a holy life. The Spirit of God is not going to lead you into sin. He's the Spirit of holiness. The Spirit of God is not going to lead you to live like the devil. He's the Spirit of holiness. And thank God the Bible says in Titus chapter number 2 that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. The same Holy Spirit that saves by grace will lead you into the truth of holy living, separated from sin, separated from the world, separated from the flesh, separated from the devil. The Spirit of God will lead you into a life of holiness. Amen and amen. Look in Romans chapter 8. He's the Spirit of truth, he's the Spirit of holiness, and he is also, Romans 8 verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. Now the law of sin and death, from the day that I'm born, death operates in my members, and each passing day, death takes a greater hold on me. Death is more keenly manifest in my life, and sooner or later, death is going to bring me to the grave. But thank God that one day a new spirit moved in. Thank God one day I had a second birth. And now I am indwelt not only by the spirit of death in my mortal body, but I'm also indwelt by the spirit of life in my inner man, insomuch that I can say with the Apostle Paul, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And with 2 Corinthians, I can say, though this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I have a permanent dwelling place, not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Though my steps may grow slow, my hair may turn gray and fall out, you may someday lay me in a box, powder my nose, and set me up in front of a church building. My body may die, but bless God, I have eternal, everlasting life. I'm just as alive today as the day I got saved. I'm just as alive today as I will be 100 years from now. I'll be as alive 1 billion years from tonight as I am right now, because I'm indwelt forever, John 14, by the Spirit of life. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. The very same life possessed by Jesus Christ is now my possession. That's what he said in Romans chapter 8, verse 2. So if you are saved tonight, you have received the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness, and the Spirit of life. It's pretty good, isn't it? What a blessing. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, and thank God for that, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There is no preacher in the world that can give you assurance of salvation. There's no preacher in the world that can convince you that you're lost if you're saved. The Holy Spirit of God moves into the heart of a saved, born-again child of God. And that Holy Spirit bears witness. That Holy Spirit testifies, you are no longer an orphan. You are no longer a child of the devil. You are no longer a mortal man born after the flesh. You have been adopted into the family of God. You are God's child. You've been adopted into God's own family. He's your father. You are his son. And beloved, the Bible says in the book of 1 John, our heart may condemn us, but God is greater than our heart. There's times you don't feel saved. Amen? There's times you don't look saved. There's times you don't think saved. But bless God, if you are saved and born again, you hit your knees at that altar of prayer, and something deep down inside you wants to cry out and call God your Father. Well, where did that come from? The Spirit of adoption. Listen, John chapter number 1 says, I wasn't born of the will of man. I didn't make this thing up. I wasn't born of the will of the flesh. I didn't force myself into God's family. I wasn't born of blood. I didn't sacrifice long enough and hard enough and resist sin until sweat drops of blood, until I sweat drops of blood, like Jesus did, to get myself born again. Hallelujah. I've been born of God. God Almighty saved me by His marvelous grace. God Almighty brought me into His family. God Almighty gave me a brand new birth. And it's God Himself that has declared in His holy word that I am now a son of the living God, having received the spirit of adoption. We don't go to, we don't go in to pray to a cruel taskmaster. We go in to pray to our Father which art in heaven. We don't go in to cry out to some God a million miles away, hoping that if we yell loud enough and long enough, He'll hear us. We go in to sit at the very feet and fellowship with our Heavenly Father. Praise be to His holy name. And only the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit can ever give you assurance of such a great truth. You can't get that out of a book. You can't get it from a theologian. You can't get it from taking a Bible study course. You'll never gain assurance of salvation. You'll never rejoice in your relationship to God the Father unless you receive that from the indwelling Holy Spirit. I can sit with you tonight. I can show you 27 verses on eternal security. I can show you 35 more tomorrow night on eternal security. But until you let the Spirit of truth guide you into the fact of what the Holy Spirit wrote in this Bible and believe by faith what God wrote in His Word, there isn't any man in this world that can talk you into resting in Jesus Christ. There isn't any man in this world that can assure your heart. The Holy Spirit of God assures your heart before God the Father. You just got to follow His lead. The Holy Spirit of God moved men to write, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Did you do that? The Holy Spirit of God moved men to record these words, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." The Holy Spirit of God moved men to write these words, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." The Holy Spirit of God moved men to write these words, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If the Holy Spirit of God said, "The moment I called on the Lord Jesus Christ from a sincere and believing heart, that God made me His own child," then hallelujah, I'm going to believe the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to believe my feelings. I'm not going to believe some preacher trying to talk me out of my salvation so that he can get me retreaded and brag about how many converts he got. I'm just going to believe God, the Spirit of adoption. Say, "Well, how do you know you're saved tonight?" "The Holy Spirit told me." "Well, what does He sound like?" No, you got it wrong. He wrote it down so there wouldn't be any doubt about it. All Scripture is given by inspiration. Okay? Spirit, in spirit. The Spirit of God gave you the truth. It's right there in the book. God's book. If you heard a voice, you might doubt that voice. If you heard a voice, you might doubt what you heard. If you heard a voice, you might confuse it with some other voice. God put it in black and white and in plain English so you couldn't miss it. If God says you are His child by adoption, don't go trying to disprove the birth certificate. Believe what he wrote down there. Amen. And then Ephesians chapter number 1. The spirit of truth, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of life, the spirit of adoption. And I like this. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Okay, let's stop there for a minute. Now, Ephesians 1, I just want you to know, is the favorite camping ground for the Calvinist, who will tell you that you were saved before you knew that you were saved. We laugh at that. They're serious. But in fact, they tell you that you were saved before you were born. In fact, that you were saved before Adam was born. The Bible says, if you want to believe the Bible instead of the Calvinists, the Bible says you didn't get these goodies until you first heard the Word of God preached. And you didn't get in on what was yours from the foundation of the world until you trusted what you heard preached from the Word of God. That's what he said. Jesus Christ is the beginning. Okay? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Okay? And that's not a statement regarding time. That's a statement regarding the Creator. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All things were created in, by, and through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before the foundation of the world, there's Jesus Christ. He laid the foundation of the world. Okay, so watch this. Here, I'll lay it out for you. I'm a lost, hell-bound sinner. I hear the gospel. God's own chosen, elect Son came to this world, suffered and bled and died for my sins. I trusted him as my personal Savior. And you know what God did? He put me in Jesus Christ. Now that I am one with the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know what's true of me? I have eternal life. Eternal life that existed before the foundation of the world. Now, I didn't have it before the foundation of the world. Okay? I got in. The eternal life that existed before the foundation of the world. When I trusted the gospel that I heard preached, I stepped into eternal life. Not eternal life running only into the future, but eternal life running also into the past. That's what I stepped into. Okay, that'll fit every verse in your Bible on election. Okay, and that's the only truth that will fit every verse in your Bible on election. I'm in God's elect. I am one with God's elect. The one I am in and the one with whom I am one was eternal life from before the foundation of the world. I hope that didn't confuse anybody. You say, well, how do you stand on that? Verse 13. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I have a mansion in heaven. Why am I not living there? I'm still in this body. There's a street of gold for me to set my feet upon. Why am I not walking on that street of gold? I'm still in this body. There's a throne that I'll get to sing and shout round about. Why am I not there singing and shouting? I'm still in this body. But also in this body is the Holy Spirit of God, and he serves as the earnest. Okay, he serves as the guarantee from God that everything I promised you, I'm going to make good. God promised me a home in heaven. Well, how do you know you're going to get one? He gave me the Holy Spirit. If he would give me his own person to dwell within me, he would certainly give me a building. If he would give me his own person to dwell within me, he would certainly give me a crown for my head. If he's given me his own person to dwell within me, he'll certainly let me sit and feast at his table like he promised. He's already given me the very greatest thing he has to give. He gave me his spirit, his own spirit. The fact that God has given me his spirit secures and gives me assurance and certainty that he's going to make good on everything else that he promised. That's the spirit of promise. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Verse number 28. Now, I know everybody's got their own idea on this passage. Let's look at it, though. Verse 28, Hebrews 10, 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Okay, now, before we go on, think about that. Has a saved man trodden underfoot the Son of God? No, he's trusted the Son of God as his Savior. Okay? And hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. Now look at this. And hath done despot unto the Spirit of grace. Now I'm not going to argue this passage with you tonight. It's not our subject tonight. But I just want to show you the sixth characteristic, the sixth attribute. That spirit that came to guide me into all truth, that spirit that came to teach me holiness, that spirit who came to give me life, that spirit who came to manifest to me that I've been adopted into God's family, that spirit that secures me secures for me all of the promises of God, that spirit is not a law spirit. That spirit is not a commandment spirit. That spirit is not a good deed spirit. That spirit is not an endure to the end spirit. Hallelujah. He is the spirit of grace. He's the one that gave me the truth. I didn't have to buy it. He gave me holiness. I didn't have to work it up. He gave me life. I didn't have to manufacture it. He gave me adoption. I couldn't have worked that up myself. He gave me the promises. I didn't deserve any of them. Thank God for the Spirit of grace. I don't know about you. You may be everything God wants you to be right now. I know that I'm not. I know where my weaknesses are. I know where my failures are. I know what my inconsistencies are. But I'm so glad that the one that guarantees my present and guarantees my future and guarantees my eternity is the Spirit of grace. I'm glad when I'm down, he doesn't come and kick me and say, "Too bad, you lost out." I'm glad when I'm down, he doesn't jump out of my body and say, "Bye-bye." I'm glad he's the Spirit of grace. marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I don't know about you, I'm glad for that. I sure am glad for that. Listen, if you could lose it, I would have lost it a long time ago. I would have lost it today. And if I got it back tonight, I'd lose it again tomorrow. So I'm glad that everything that we've seen so far tonight is made sure and made certain by the Spirit of grace. Praise be to his name. All right, so those are six things the Bible says the Spirit of, and then gives an attribute. Now I want to show you six divine titles, starting in Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter 3, the Spirit of, and then six divine titles. And we'll just go through these quickly. I won't comment too much on them. Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God, descending like a dove. Okay, we'll talk about that a little in a minute, but number 2, Matthew chapter 10. And verse number 20, Matthew chapter 10, verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaketh in you. Notice, the Spirit descending from heaven was identified as the Spirit of God. But when the Spirit is indwelling a believer and guiding the speech of that believer, he's referred to as the Spirit of your Father. Now, you can't say to anybody and everybody in the world that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of their Father. Any man in the world can refer to the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of your Father, that term, that's reserved for those who are indwelt by the Spirit of God. What a difference. Okay, those are the ones who can cry, Abba, Father. All right, now look in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter number 4. We'll go a step further. Luke 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Okay, now we're going to read some more here, but notice this. It was his custom to go into the synagogue. You say, well, I'm a spiritual man. I know my Bible. I don't need to go to church. Jesus went every Sabbath to the synagogue. Do you think he needed to? Do you think he had to go confess his sin and get straightened out? Do you think he needed some Pharisee to preach the Bible to him so he could learn the Word of God? He was the Word of God, but he was faithful in his attendance. Verse 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and so on and so forth. Notice the Spirit of God in reference to all men, the Spirit of your Father in reference to those who are indwelt by that Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord in reference to those who are living in obedience to his leadership. That's the Spirit of the Lord. I'll give you a scriptural example. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The Spirit of the Lord is used in reference to the day-to-day life of Jesus Christ, who not only had received the Spirit of God, which was the Spirit of his Father, as he walked as the man Christ Jesus, but also in reference to the life that Jesus Christ lived. He's called the Spirit of the Lord. That one's a little convicting there. Romans chapter number 8 is the next one. This will be the fourth item in this particular list. Romans 8 and verse number 9. Now watch the wording. Listen, your Bible, it's so perfect. It's perfect. verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, okay, we already covered that one, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Now look at this. He's the Spirit of God. And that's a general term for everyone. But those who have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, to them, the Spirit of God has become what? The Spirit of Christ. John 14, I'm going back to my Father, but I will send you another Comforter who will abide with you forever in my stead. If I have received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, dwelling within me is who? Not the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of Christ. That is, Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit dwells within me as a saved man. And if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. That's important. Because when a man stands in the pulpit and says, you can receive Jesus, but until you speak in tongues, you don't get the Spirit. He's trying to get you to receive another Spirit. Because everybody that's received Jesus Christ has received the Spirit of Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to Jesus Christ. Don't be fooled. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter number 4. I tell you, this Bible's a perfect book. Galatians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son. The Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Okay, so watch this. Not only does the Holy Spirit allow us to cry, Abba, Father, that talks about our relationship, but notice the depth of our relationship. The Spirit of God has come to indwell me so that he is within me, the Spirit of Christ. But more than that, because I have been made a child of God, and listen, I'm not being blasphemous here. I'm telling you just what the Bible says. I now enjoy the same relationship to God the Father that is enjoyed by Jesus Christ. I am as much a son of the living God as Jesus Christ himself, in so much that I am said to be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. As terms my relationship to God the Father, I have received the Spirit of his Son. That is, the Holy Spirit has brought me into a relationship with God the Father, like unto that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's a question for these shallow people that know two or three verses out of the Bible and don't have any idea what the context is, that try to threaten people into living the Christian life and drive people into living the Christian life and browbeat people into living the Christian life and say, if you don't live it, you're going to lose it. Do you think God the Father is going to throw his son Jesus Christ into hell someday? Do you think God the Father is going to kick his son out of heaven someday? The Bible says in Galatians 4, you have entered into the very same relationship with God the Father that is enjoyed by God the Son, by the Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's as secure as it gets. He's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of your Father, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of his Son. And then look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter number 1. It's amazing how God lays these things out in order. Philippians chapter 1 verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Okay, now watch this. Christ, okay, that's the title for God's anointed Messiah, Christ. Okay, but Jesus, that's the name that he was given in Bethlehem's manger. Okay, Jesus is the name of the man, Christ Jesus. Okay, that's his human name, the name of his humanity. The Apostle Paul said, I'm in prison, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ is teaching me how to endure hardship and suffering in this life, just like Jesus Christ endured it. I may die, but the Spirit of Christ, Spirit of Jesus Christ, can instruct me in how to die. I may suffer horribly at the hands of men, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ will teach me how to suffer and still give glory to God. Not only do I have an indwelling Holy Spirit that leads me and guides me into deep spiritual truth, but I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit that is in perfect union and perfect communion with the man, Christ Jesus, who knows what it is to be brokenhearted, knows what it is to be betrayed, knows what it is to be forsaken, knows what it is to suffer, knows what it is to die in a body of flesh. And that Spirit can teach us how to face every trial and every difficulty in life and still bring glory to God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is what the Apostle Paul wrote of when he talked about jailhouses and abandonment and execution and martyrdom. He said, thank God the Spirit that lives in me knows how to walk up Golgotha's hill. The Spirit of God that lives in me knows how to turn and look on Peter so as to let him know, Peter, I still love you no matter what you did to me. The Spirit of Jesus Christ that dwells in me knows how to lay down this old life and die for the gospel's sake. So there you have it, the divine titles that begin with the Spirit of, and there's only six of them, but I think that's a pretty good list there. All right, now I'm going to take you back to that verse I showed you before, a while back, and it's in Isaiah chapter 11. You'll see six particulars, or you'll think you see them. The Spirit of, regarding his attributes. Okay, we covered those, six particulars regarding his attributes, six particulars regarding titles of his deity. This next one is the most common reference made by those who want to find scriptural backing for the seven spirits of God in Revelation chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 1. And I think it's also a third time in there. But in fact, this is the one I showed you when we looked at Revelation 1:4. Just one problem, though, if you look at it carefully, more carefully than I did the first time. And the problem is the punctuation. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Okay, now you can start counting best that you can. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, comma. The Spirit of counsel and might, comma. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, semicolon. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. All right, now here's how the commentators count it. The Spirit of the Lord, 1. The Spirit of wisdom, 2. The Spirit of understanding, 3. The Spirit of counsel, 4. The Spirit of might, 5. Spirit of knowledge, 6. Spirit of the fear of the Lord, 7. Okay. All right, so if you pay attention, though, to the punctuation and you don't ignore the fact that some things there are grouped together as one, you can't count seven items. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, that's one statement. Counsel and might, that's one statement. Knowledge and the fear of the Lord, that's one statement. So I personally still cannot find seven spirits of God. I still don't know what they are. Some will tell you that they're seven archangels. Where they get that from, I can't tell you. Some will tell you they're the seven seraphim. Again, scripture, don't see it. Some will say they're seven special angels, since angels are ministering spirits. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and ask God. unless you find something. Okay. All right. A little bit more here. I'm going to show you one more thing before we're through tonight. I want to show you the sevenfold action of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we've seen six attributes. We've seen six titles of deity. Let's look real quickly at the seven actions of the Holy Spirit. First of all, John chapter 16. John chapter number 16. And verse number 7. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Okay, so the first action of the Holy Spirit is to convince men of this world, women of this world, teenagers and boys and girls of this world, that they are sinners and that they will stand before God in a day of judgment, and that Jesus Christ is seated on that throne and will not pardon their iniquity if they have not been born again. So the first action of the Holy Spirit is to convince the world, not the saved, convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 14, verse number 16. What about those who are convinced and have received Jesus Christ as their Savior? John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the second action of the Holy Spirit is to comfort the believer. To comfort the believer. He first convinces the world of sin. Those who are convinced, he then comforts them. Comforter comes to indwell. Then the third action of the Holy Spirit, John 15, verse 26. John 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit of God convinces me of sin. I'm convinced. I trust Christ as my Savior. Then the Holy Spirit comes in to comfort me. And now that I am comforted, assured of my salvation, now that Holy Spirit of God wants to speak through me to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. The very last word from the Holy Spirit in Revelation chapter 22 is this: the Spirit and the bride say, come. Are you part of the bride? Then the Spirit of God that dwells within you wants to use your lungs and your mouth and your time and your talent and your resources to testify of Jesus Christ, to bear witness to the one who's given us eternal life. Amen. Next one, look in Romans 8 again. Romans chapter number 8, verse 26. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Notice the fourth action of the Holy Spirit is to aid God's children in prayer. I don't know what to ask for. I don't know what to pray for. I don't know how to pray. But thank God the Holy Spirit that lives within will aid us and assist us as we come before God in prayer. Thanks be to his name. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. The fifth action of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. This fifth action of the Holy Spirit is this: by His power, by His guidance, by His grace, He sets me apart from the world. He sets me apart from worldly people. He sets me apart from worldly activities. He sets me apart from my old life. The Holy Spirit of God, if I will but yield my life to His control, I won't have to fight and struggle and labor to get the victory. He is the victory. He will grant the victory if I will just allow Him to have His way in my life. I tell you, one of the greatest hymns that's ever been written, and we sing it here: would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him within the narrow road? Would you let Him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let Him have His way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your soul and set you free. His love will fill your heart and you will see 'twas best to do what? Let Him have His way with thee. If we would just surrender to God and let God do in us what He wants to do in us, He would sanctify us. He would set us apart from worldly ways. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. He convinces the world of sin. He comforts the believer. He testifies of Jesus Christ. He aids in prayer. He sanctifies. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. The Holy Spirit will produce fruit in the life of the believer. You say, well, preacher, I was raised hard. I was raised cold. I don't know how to love nobody. I never loved anybody in my life. And you never will. But the Holy Spirit knows how to love people, and He can produce that in your life. Well, I never had any peace. I've been a worrier since the day I was born. I chewed my fingernails in the crib, and I've done it ever since. As soon as I learned how to walk, I started pacing back and forth in the nursery. I'm a worrier. I've just been a nervous wreck since the day I was born. Well, maybe you have always been that way, but the Holy Spirit of God, you think He's worried? The Holy Spirit of God's not upset. The Holy Spirit of God's not afraid of the future. He can produce peace in your heart. And we could just go right on down the line here. It's not up to me to make myself a fruitful Christian. It's up to me. Verse 25, we didn't read that far. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's up to me to just obey the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. And He will produce fruit in my life. And then finally, last one, Ephesians chapter 4. The seventh action of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Bible also talks about the fact that God has preserved us. Now, there's two different ways you can look at this, and they're both scriptural. God has set a seal upon those who are his own. So you're marked in a sense. If you're saved, you're a marked believer, okay? And thank God I don't have the mark of the beast. I got the mark of the Son, Jesus Christ. You say, well, I can't see it. I don't see any mark on you. It's not for you to see. It's for God to see. He'll make sure nobody slips in at the rapture that's not pre-approved. But I'll tell you something else. The Holy Spirit put me in Jesus Christ, and he sealed me there. And the Bible said he preserved me. Now, you can talk to some ladies who were raised and taught to do these kinds of things. They'll tell you, if you go into the storage cabinet, you find you some peach preserves that were sealed just right. It doesn't matter how long ago they were put in there. They're still just as pure, still just as fresh as they were the day that they were sealed. That seal preserved those peaches, okay, in their original state of purity. Well, God put me into his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he sealed me there. And the Bible says, I am preserved in Christ Jesus. And when I bust out of this body at the rapture, you'll find out that I'm just as saved as I was the moment Jesus Christ gave me the new birth. What's on the inside hadn't spoiled. It's still as fresh and new and good as it was the very day God put me in Jesus Christ. Peach preserves are pretty good, but how about soul preserves? Amen. So I know I took a long time to tell you. That's why I wanted to start earlier tonight. I took a long time to tell you that I still don't know what the seven spirits of God are. But I'm glad I know Jesus Christ. I'm glad I got his Holy Spirit. And if nothing else, you may leave tonight realizing you got a whole lot more than you bargained for when you got saved. Isn't God good? I mean, what more do you want for free? All this in heaven too. Praise God. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for showing us some things about your Holy Spirit, reminding us of some things that we had, and maybe revealing to us some things we hadn't thought of or noticed in your word. We thank you for the light that you gave us tonight. We thank you for the peace that you gave us and the assurance that we have, and for showing us the things that you'd have us to do by the power of your Spirit that's in us while we're here in this present time. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to your Spirit and let him lead the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.